So who really is responsible for the high U.S. inflation number? We'll share. It's the business news headlines for Wednesday, the 13th day of April. Thanks for being with us again today. In other news, Amazon has a new name for its free TV streaming service. Yesterday, it was Honda. And EVs, today, it's Toyota. Corporate profit is higher than it has ever been, and that's not all. We've got the Wall Street Report, and why do women do office housework, and what is it? For the interview, you'll meet Bob Rafferty from the group known as the Iowa Business for Clean Energy. Lots of questions about the current energy grid and where we need to go to match the demand of the future. Good stuff just ahead, but first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, a socially responsible way to acquire diverse talent. FocusandFind.com. Tarot International for corporate and personal training to achieve, lead, and outclass. TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, the original agriculture equipment recyclers and suppliers at NTPDA.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Wednesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful that you're along for the ride again today. Hey, you want to follow us on Twitter? You can do that. You can find us at IOB_NewsHour. You know, there are many things happening in the world that has caused the U.S. to experience inflation numbers like we've not seen for decades. From supply chain troubles to the pandemic to more money in circulation from the stimulus dollars, but what about the huge spike in the price of gasoline? Well, Business Insider is reporting that the blame lands squarely on the shoulders of one Vladimir Putin. According to President Biden, the record inflation numbers seen in March were largely due to a surge in the price of gasoline following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Biden was referring to a report by the U.S. Department of Labor published on Tuesday, which said gas prices were up 18.3% in March after jumping by 6.6% in February. Now, if you do the math, that's nearly a 25% increase in just 60 days. The report also said consumer prices had risen by 8.5% in March from a year earlier. That is the biggest 12-month increase since December of 1981. In Iowa on Tuesday, Biden said, quote, "Putin's invasion of Ukraine has driven up gas prices and food prices all over the world," end quote. Biden said that families' abilities to fill up their tanks with gas shouldn't, quote, "hinge on whether a dictator declares war and commits genocide in a half a world away," end quote, labeling Russia's actions in the Ukraine war as genocide for the first time rather than war crimes. According to the Automobile Association of America, the national average price for a gallon of regular gasoline stood at $4.08 on Wednesday. That compares with an average of $4.33 a month ago and $2.86 at the same point last year. So, yes, gasoline prices are coming down. Let's talk streaming TV for a moment, shall we? CNBC is reporting that Amazon jumped into the ad-supported video streaming market about 3 years ago with IMDb TV. Later this month, that product will have a new name. And given the difficulty of saying IMDb-TV and what the heck it means, it makes sense, right? On April 27, IMDb-TV will become Amazon Freevee. I like that. It's a name the company said better reflects the free nature of the service. The ad-supported video-on-demand space has caught fire in recent years, picking up momentum during the coronavirus pandemic as consumers streamed more movies and shows. Competitors include Paramount Global's Pluto TV, Crackle, Tubi, and the Roku channel from Roku. Amazon is trying to play both sides of the streaming market. Its Prime Video service is available through a monthly subscription of $9 or as part of the $15 a month full Prime membership. Amazon competes on that end with the likes of Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu, HBO Max, and NBC's Universal Peacock, though some of those have also some free ad-supported tiers. Paid subscription services still dominate the streaming space, but ad-supported offerings are gaining ground. In January of last year, approximately 34% of U.S. households had video streaming capabilities, and they used ad-supported streaming services. That news, according to Nielsen data. Toyota is finally all in on electric vehicles. The Street is reporting that while most of Toyota's current EV sales are hybrids powered by a combination of battery power and internal combustion engines, that includes, by the way, the Prius. That's a hybrid that went on sale in Japan back in 1997. Well, the company now plans to expand to around 70 electrified models globally by 2025, with an eye on carbon neutrality by 2050. Toyota said it has put more than 20 million electrified models on the road and will spend over $70 billion on EVs, with a target to launch 3.5 million battery electric vehicles globally in 2030. But what about this year? Well, we have news. The all-electric bZ4X, which has a manufacturer's suggested retail price of $42,000, will be available this spring, according to Toyota's announcement. But a notice on the company's website says the 2023 bZ4X is, quote, currently available in select states only and in extremely limited quantities, end quote. While American households continue to deal with the high cost of just about everything, American companies are enjoying some of the best profits ever. MarketWatch is reporting the level of profit that large corporations experienced last year was unparalleled in American history as consumers faced the worst price inflation the U.S. has seen in decades. Even as top executives warn about the effects of inflation on their bottom lines, profit margins are expected to grow larger still this year and beyond. Companies in the S&P 500 index reported a record collective net profit margin of 12.1% in the past 12 months of financial reports, which largely correlates with the 2021 calendar year. That number is far higher than any previously recorded. Annual net profit margins for the index show that only 3 years since 1999 in which the S&P 500's profit margin managed to hit double digits. That was in 2006, 2018, and 2019. And margins in those years stayed lower than 11%, with a high of 10.7% in 2018. The Bureau of Economic Analysis data shows that there are no historical parallels to that type of profitability from corporations before 1999 either. Records dating back to the late 1940s show that after-tax corporate profits in relationship to gross domestic products are now at an all-time high. Wall Street still expects a higher net profit margin for the S&P 500 this year and the next 2 years after that. On average, analysts predict the S&P 500 index will produce a 13% net profit margin in 2022, that according to FactSet, as they prepare for a wave of first quarter numbers in the coming weeks with similar projections, get this, for 2023 and 2024. This sudden jump in profit margins was elevated to the halls of Congress, where the State Budget Committee heard testimony about whether the dual increases in corporate profits and inflation were interrelated. Historically high profits for major corporations sort of helps you feel good about your current cost of living, right? Well, maybe not so much. But those profit reports were welcome news on Wall Street as the major indexes rose and reversed 3 days of being in the red. The Dow gained 344 points on the day to close at 34,564, while the NASDAQ picked up 272 points to end the session at 13,643, and the S&P 500 gained 49 points to close at 4446. Meanwhile, the 10-year Treasury note fell, hitting 2.70%. Now, some of the activity today may have been dip buying, but the focus seems to be on earnings. While J.P. Morgan disappointed, more bank earnings are set to follow. Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo are all set to report tomorrow. And what they say could give us a hint about the broader U.S. economy. And finally, there is this. According to Lori Weingart, the co-author of the book, The No Club, Putting a Stop to Women's Dead-End Work, every year, women spend a full 200 hours more than men on work tasks that will not help them land promotions or otherwise advance their careers. Now, these duties include training summer interns, planning the office party, or taking notes in a meeting. Not only are these tasks time-consuming, they can lead women to fall behind on the work they're actually being evaluated on. So, how can we redistribute this work more evenly? Well, here, according to Weingart, are some answers. First of all, don't assume women want these tasks or are better suited for them than their male counterparts. Two, rather than ask for volunteers for these duties, consider rotating who does them. And three, given the importance of these tasks to the organization, consider bringing them into the performance review so that workers can be rewarded for this extra work. Think about this. 200 more hours each year on something called office housework. Wow. All right, stay with us and click ahead for an interesting conversation about business and the Iowa electric grid. What is it? How is it maintained? Why do some businesses pay up to 50% more for power in some cities than in others? What about delivery of power in the future? How are we going to store it? A whole host of questions and answers that impact business today and tomorrow. Our guest is Bob Rafferty from the group Iowa Business for Clean Energy. This is something you've got to hear. Let's go.